anybody can buy a van. You can go and buy the same van we use. You can go wrap it in an equally nice branding. Your phone will ring off the hook. However, you need us because we speak groomer language and you don't. We're going to help you find that groomer. We're going to help you train that groomer. And we're going to support that groomer for years to come.
All right, welcome to The Pursuit of Profit, the podcast for people who want to build profitable businesses without guessing, gambling, and learning the hard way. In this episode, you'll discover how to start, scale, and profit in the mobile pet grooming business. Today, I'm joined by Chris Elias. He's the co-founder at Dapper Tails. And this is a conversation every franchise investor should hear. In this episode, you'll discover how a mobile pet grooming model taps into a $150 billion pet care industry by delivering convenience, premium service, and recurring revenue. Why most service-based franchisees fail when they underestimate labor, routing logistics, and the consumer experience. How building a route-dense, subscription-driven client base creates predictable cash flow, higher lifetime value, and a scalable path to multi-van expansion. Let me just frame this out real quickly. 94 million U.S. households own a pet, and Americans spent over $150 billion last year on pets and animals. Meanwhile, grooming salons, the brick and mortar, are maxed out, wait lists are growing, and pet owners are demanding convenience. So what happens when you take a fragmented, labor-heavy industry and layer in routing systems and franchising? This isn't about grooming. It's about the model. A route-based revenue, recurring customers, labor training and compensation used as a differentiator, and no retail overhead. This is a classic non-brick and mortar scalable brand. All right, let's get into it. I want to begin. Your first generation entrepreneur, serial entrepreneur, started much like me, young. I think you were 17 when you started your first business, right? Then you went all in on this pet grooming, which apparently was a side hustle, which then turned into a multi-state franchise concept, right? Now you're expanding it throughout the United States. What I'm very interested to hear, what was that early day where you said, this is bigger than a side gig?
Let's take it back to 2017. That's where we launched our first van on Long Island. My girlfriend at the time, which is now my wife, Emily, she's a groomer of 15 plus years, worked in the corporate world. She wanted to get out of corporate. I've done many, many service businesses in the past. I've been in the restaurant business. I've been in business my whole life since I was little, selling things out of my locker in school. I mean, you name it, I've done it. I've sold it. I just love business. It runs in my blood. So we got a van. We started the business in 2017 on Long Island. 6 months later, second van. 6 months later, third van. 6 months later, fourth van. Wow. Then, of course, 2019-20 came. The pandemic hit, and it just went bonkers. I mean, we had four vans in March of 2020. We got to 14 vans by 22. It just became crazy. The recipe for us is very simple. We're pet groomers. We're the only company currently that's franchising that is owned by pet groomers. We're not a private equity firm. We're not a bank. We're not investors. We're real owner operators. My wife's in a grooming van right now as we speak. This is what we do. So obviously we got to 14 vans on Long Island during the pandemic. And we figured, like, everyone was telling us you should be franchising. This is a great concept. Everyone loves their pets. You obviously have a great recipe to get that many vans in that little time. Your groomers love you. No one quits. There's no turnover. Customers love it. Your technology is great. Everything you're doing, your branding. But to me, before franchising and taking a concept and selling it to somebody, I have to make sure I can duplicate it. Long Island is very unique. You can hit it big here with one thing and it can never leave here. And as we all know, very, very unique area to be in. So I figured, let's start over. 2023, we took a van down blindfolded to West Palm Beach, launched a van down there, met an amazing groomer. 6 months later, second groomer. 6 months later, third groomer. Same story, again, duplicated in West Palm. And then we figured, like, we can run West Palm and New York at the same time. Then one of my groomers moved to Carolina and she asked if I could bring a van there. And I said, hey, if we're going to franchise, why wouldn't I bring a van there? So in 24, we brought a van there at the end of 24. And then in 25, we decided before actually launching, we're going to work on our FDD, get everything done, but we're going to launch 12 states ourselves. So I literally bought 12 vans with our own corporate money, put them in 12 different states, all within 6 month period. and launched them as if I had 12 franchisees come to the table and say, hey, I'm interested. I want to open. Can we do this? Are we ready for the storm? Let's create the storm right now and try to navigate through it. Launched 12 states, 12 groomers, 12 vans. All those corporate locations were thriving. Some of those locations in only 3 and 4 months, they were on 2 and 3 vans. So really explosive. A lot of those locations we're giving away currently. Arizona location just closed last week with 3 vans. Florida's about to sign, so that location's gone also. Long Island is about to close on Monday. That's a big newsflash moment for us. Our Long Island operation of 14 vans is getting taken over by a franchisee next week. It's a bittersweet moment for us, but at this point, I think it's just best to focus on what our next level is, which is supporting franchisees. We launched technically franchising in 2025, in the summer of 2025. In only 8 short months, we've signed on over 15 franchisees in just 8 months. And the pipeline is filled right now. So many people launching. Some of these franchisees, I'm telling you, their vans are full, ready for a second van. One location that launched 2 months ago is getting their second van next week. So really, really exciting. I think, again, for us, everything's about the passion that we put into this business. We are owner-operators. We've been doing this for 10 years, way prior to any other franchise that exists out there in the mobile pet grooming space.
Pursuit of Profit is brought to you by Phrenosity. If franchise ownership is on your radar, whether you're buying your first unit or expanding your portfolio, the most important step is getting clarity before you invest. At Phrenosity, we provide free franchise consulting to help you identify the right opportunity based on your goals, lifestyle, financial position, income needs, your risk tolerance, and long-term vision or legacy. We work with you to develop investment objectives and build a strategy designed specifically for you. There's no cost, just expert guidance. We're compensated by the seller, just like a realtor. Visit Phrenosity.com to book your free consultation call. Thank you.
I love your passion. I love your style. I think you'll make a great franchisor because you're empowering your staff and you get it, right? You speak groomer language.
People always say, I'm like, the reason why you need us is very simple. Not for the van, not for the branding, not for the website or phone numbers that we get you and help you. You need us because we speak groomer language and you don't. Very simple. I use that term all the time because that's the disconnect. That's the biggest challenge in this industry. Anybody can buy a van. You can go and buy the same van we use. You can go wrap it in an equally nice branding. You can do the same things. Not a big deal. Your phone will ring off the hook. However, the biggest challenge, and I coached prior to launching franchising from 2020 to 2024, I coached mobile pet groomers. And who I found myself coaching were people that bought into franchises out there that had no support, right? And their model to me as an insider of the industry was completely broken. So they would pay me to get on these calls. And I'm like, in my head, I'm like, I really can't help you. Like, this model is broken. It actually, you cannot succeed, unfortunately. And this is the reasons why. And then I figured when I'm building our model, first of all, our model would never be built like this, but I learned all the ins and outs through the coaching that I've done with these owners that bought into these concepts through the years prior. So for us, our biggest support is we're going to help you find that groomer. We're going to help you train that groomer, and we're going to support that groomer for years to come. If your groomer needs something in the van, no offense, but you probably can't answer that question like we can. So she will message our operations team through an app that's connected, and that's the difference between Dapper Tails and any other brand out there.
Anyone getting into the pet space, that person typically loves the animal more than the human neighbor. And if you don't speak their language, like, you're not understanding, I don't want to work with people.
And I tell my franchisees, I'm like, listen, there's a reason why they work with pets, okay? Yeah. So you listen to me and understand how to support them. And they need just very couple of key things. But I think from a groomer's standpoint, groomers will, just so you know, almost all our groomers are coming from competitor companies in their town naturally because they see on our posts and pages that we're launching in West Virginia. And they're going to leave the competition and come work for us because they know that we treat them better. We're a groomer company and we're going to support them. And that's what everything comes down to is support. And that's why groomers respect us in the industry. We're very, very well known for doing the right thing by groomers. And that's what matters at the end of the day.
Just for clarity, though, I don't have to be a groomer to invest in this brand, correct? To be
a franchisee? Not a single person that bought a franchise is a groomer. You're okay. not meant to be a groomer. I don't think you're going to invest $200,000 to buy a job. So we need you to just listen to what I need you to do to support your groomer, give her what she needs, and support your local marketing efforts. And she's going to do all the grooming. She doesn't want to do the marketing, the payroll, the insurance, the business end, putting up all that money. She needs to be supported by a local owner that's going to take care of everything locally for her. Give her my brand new uniform, give her a brand new van, take care of her. And then she's sandwiched in the middle of support on the corporate side, as well as support from a local owner. And that's why groomers fall into this little support sandwich, as we call it. Right. And they just love it. And they can't get enough. I've never had a lead groomer quit on us. Our turnover rate is so low. I have groomers with us since we started business in 2017, still with us today. Also very important to understand that every single person you will ever meet on our team is a groomer or grooming industry related person. There's no corporate people. There's no boardrooms. There's no suits here. This is what we do. We're real owner operators, and that's how we support our franchisees.
I want to go back to what you said, because you just can't gloss over it. What you've done is remarkable. Okay, I don't care what brand, what concept, it doesn't matter. The way you've scaled, the speed at which you've scaled, your flawless execution, the way you scaled, your allocation of resources, your ability to get talent. How are you doing this? Like, really try and get granular for the audience. What you're doing is masterful. Unpack it a little bit.
The talent is so easy for us to find. If you say to me, what is the best, easiest thing in your life? It's finding great groomers. So when people say, why did you open up a location in Valdosta, Georgia? What made you decide you want to open up a location on a military base? Like, what? Why there? Well, for me, it's very simple. I found an amazing groomer in Valdosta, Georgia, and I send a van there, and it's going to be successful. None of our vans make under $20,000. I met a great groomer that had her own business, many great groomers that have had their own business, making 8 to 10. That's the sweet spot for most mobile groomers. So I took a groomer in West Palm Beach who was making $8,500 a month in sales, took her, said, listen, I'm going to get you a new van. I'm going to fly you to New York and train you. I'm going to take you and reprogram you, okay? Took the same groomer, flew her to New York, trained her for, I don't know, a week and a half with my wife. She came back, took the same clientele she was doing, and we turned her $8,500 in 4 months to $17,000. Same everything. It's the confidence that we built into these groomers. The number one thing that groomers lack is confidence. And we are the number one thing we give them is a boost of confidence. They're professionals. They're service professionals. They're leaders. I cannot groom a dog. Like, they are everything. They work hard. They deserve to be recognized, paid well, and incentivized properly. So the way we incentivize our groomers, again, the biggest thing is respect. I mean, we have show groomers that are on the front page of Pet Edge magazine sponsored. Like, our model blows away anybody else. And again, that's where the trust comes in. So if groomers trust us, you should trust me to invest your money in our franchise.
What do you mean by confidence?
Confidence means they go to your house, they groom your dog, they're charging you $80. And I know for a fact that they should be charging you $120, but they're afraid to kind of, because remember, they're just for the love of the pet. They don't, you know, they feel bad. It's an awkward conversation. It's money. I don't want to tell you it's more. You might flip out. You might not like me. You might think differently of me. So now if I'm not the boss and they're the boss, now it's just like being at the supermarket. That cashier scans the item as we move. No one's looking at the price. They just scan. Their job's to scan. Their job's to go to your door and say, I'm sorry, I don't own the business anymore. Obviously, I could have made it on my own. And I used to charge $80 and this company charges $120, but they allowed me to give you a little bit of a discount. So I'm allowed to charge you $110. So what does that customer do? Takes out $120, hands it to the groomer. What does that tell the groomer? Tells the groomer that you were worth $120 all day long.
That's
my babysitter
right.
charges me $20. I think she's worth $30, but I'm not just going to give her $30. If she came to me tomorrow and told me she's going to charge me more, I'm just going to say, absolutely. I'm not going to go searching for a new dog groomer or a new babysitter. That's not how it works. So anything in this field, what they don't understand is that clients are addicted to the groomer and the groomer has the following. It's not about the name. It's not about the van. It's not about the brand. It's nothing more than the groomer. Your stylist is, that's your everything. That's your baby. That's your everything. So groomers don't know that. I empower them. I tell them that you're worth this. And again, they're getting half of, you know, they're getting highly compensated. So every dollar they can increase, that's more money in their pockets. So that same groomer doing $8,500, now doing $17,000. Pricing is everything. Even when I'm training my franchisees, it's all about pricing. I'm never impressed by a company that has 44 vans. It means nothing. Number of vans don't impress me. Number of dogs don't impress me, okay? What impresses me is how much money is that van pulling in monthly. Our pricing philosophy and model is based on supply and demand. If I woke up tomorrow on Long Island and five of my groomers quit, I raise my prices 30%. because I lost 25% of my staff, I lose 15% of my clients and raise the prices. So we will always use supply and demand. I mean, listen, the whole world is on supply and demand. You go to a concert, you order an Uber, it's 300% more because there's, you know, 3,000 right. people trying to get an Uber, right? COVID hit, gas was under a buck because no one was driving. Look at gas now, right? So everything's supply and demand. The whole world runs on supply and demand pricing. So we use supply and demand pricing to get the most for our services. We are premium. We're not the cheap groomer. We are premium. I like to always refer to us as the Ruth Chris Steakhouse in the mobile pet grooming industry. Everyone else that's out there, they're the Applebee's and Chili's on every corner, and that's okay. That's fine. We need them also because they're bringing spotlight into the industry. They're of no competition to me. You know, when a franchisee tells me, well, you know, the competition in my area, I said, there is no competition. To me, there is none. We're the top. We're the top tier. No one uses the technology we do. No one can track their groomer on an app in their pocket like they can track an Uber, right? No one can pay online with credit cards and do all that thing on a Dappertales mobile app. These are the things that we have deployed as franchisors into the system. I love technology. Love it. I can't use it enough. We have live groomer tracking on our app. So when the groomer's en route to your house, just like an Uber, you start seeing the van on your lock screen move along and go to, you know, across the screen. So that's a technology that we have that we use that, again, the competition does not have that. So that puts us at the level, service level, over anybody else, right? And that's only one of many, many things that, you know, we use in our industry or in our business that we love, that differentiates us.
What are you doing to ensure that the staff is not, let's say, stealing the customer, doing side work?
Let's put it this way. Almost all our lead groomers make 100K a year. Are you risking 100K a year when you're getting 40% commission? To get 40% of gross, that's more than 50% of net. So you're in an advantage. You have more equity in the company than I do as a groomer, taking in that much revenue, not to mention any other revenue you could be pulling in from other groomers that work under you, incentivized, right? Trust is everything. Do I go out to dinner and put my camera on and watch my babysitter watching my kid? No, because then I don't need her and I could just do that on my own, right? I need to have the trust. The trust is everything. When we team up with groomers, we let them know this is the, I've fired one groomer in 10 years and I've probably hired over 100 people. I mean, you just have to watch. It's still a running business, right? You still need to keep an eye on it and you still need to track it. But I find that because they're highly invested, listen, if they were making $15 an hour, we would have to worry about that,
right?
And the turnover and everything that comes with that. These are highly, highly paid, skilled individuals. When COVID hit and the government was paying $1,200 to not go to work, none of my groomers opted in for that, okay? We never skipped a beat. We were adding vans and adding groomers. Why did groomers want to come to work? Because $1,200, they made that in a day and a half. Okay.
That's right.
So to them, $1,200 was not enough to stop working. Okay. Luckily, obviously every other industry, sure, give me the same money to sit home or 10% less or 20% less and not do anything, I'm in. Groomers make sick money. And again, we respect our groomers. I tell my franchisees, I support your groomer before I support you, flat out. You're handing me $200,000 to invest into this business, but I'm supporting your groomer. You know why? Because without her, you don't have a business. And without her, I can't collect royalties. So we're on the same team. But just so you know, we both have to support her over each other because she is the business at the end of the day. When we find you that groomer, it's going to go through three levels of us in interviewing that groomer to make sure they're the perfect lead groomer for your location in order for you to be successful. That's what it's all about. Anything else is secondary after that. So we have to make sure, because again, we don't have minimums on royalties. We're the only franchise out there that has zero minimums, meaning if you bought in tomorrow and you did not groom a single dog, you don't owe me a single dollar. And that's just showing you that my success is only based off of your success. So I'm going to help you find that groomer. I'm going to train that groomer and I'm going to get that van to 20K and let you add more vans.
So you're giving them not half, but let's just say 80% of the vehicle's revenue. If they're making six figures, you're doing a $250,000. Can you still net 50 to 70K on a van in the end, fully burdened by their comp?
FDD states that last year on 10 vans running, we made $744,000 based on 10 vans after paying royalties and everything. So you can make the average number you should probably see in a van based on our FDD is around 74,000. If you could duplicate, and that was only on 210,000. What's nice about this industry and business is that the numbers are very simple. You know the van cost. We know the groomer costs 40%. We know your gas costs. We know your royalty. We know your brand fund. We know your technology fee. We know your supply costs. So the 7 or 8 line items, we can list them all and say, okay, if the van brought in $20,000 a month, I can probably make this. If the van brought in 25, I could see this. If the van brought in 10, I'm probably breaking even. If the van made 8, I'm losing 1,500, right? So the numbers are really, really simple. So even our FDD gives you great information on the metrics and profits. I'm not a person that looks on a piece of paper and believes what I read either, because just because I did it in New York doesn't mean you're going to do it in Virginia, right? So for me, realistically, what's the cost to run this van? How much is the groomer costing? These are all numbers that are very easy to understand and easy for you to even just know what you're getting into prior to getting it. Everything's right. Done inside the van. Self-contained, climate-controlled van. Everything's done in there. We know the van cost is $125,000. We know all the numbers to make you at least understand what kind of investment it costs and what the potential return could be. I think van one is your launch pad for multi-van. My model specifically, our model, is going to get our owners to have multi-van. I see a lot of franchises out there and they'll advertise, 200 vans, 85 vans, right? Again, that's great. However, my question to that is, how many owners own 200 vans, right? Is it 64 owners? Because then I'm interested. Or is it 160 owners? Because then I'm not interested, right? So how many owners are owning those vans? Is it everyone stuck at one van making $60,000 to $80,000 a year? Or are we talking people have 4, 5, 10 vans? This Long Island takeover is 13 vans, right? Making millions. One person's going to run it and they don't even live in the state, right? Like, Florida, 3 vans, Arizona, 5 vans, Charlotte, 3 vans, right? So these are areas that are going to be, I'm focused more on multi-unit, multi-van for my franchisees, because to me, selling 18 territories in Southeast Florida sounds like a headache to me. I'd rather have 5 or 6 owners and each one have multi-van, right? And I have no one worried about the next guy next to them servicing clients or any issues down the line. So for me, I know what I need to do to succeed. Again, we're real owner operators and we need everyone to succeed for this brand to be the biggest one in the country.
Chris, where's the revenue? Meaning, is the revenue overwhelmingly in just routine dog grooming, or is it in like flea and tick treatments and, all these other dematting? Where's the money?
Dog grooming is 95%. And again, there are some models out there that they'll do other services like pet walking, pet sitting and other stuff. To me, they do that so that they can bring the numbers up on a van, right? So, our average van earns $230,000. That includes dog walking, dog sitting, dog grooming. These are completely different services. I could start dog walking tomorrow. However, to me, if you ask me, I want to make the most amount of money in the least amount of time. That's all I want to do. Dog walkers are everywhere. Too much liability to make $10. I want to go to a house and charge you $150 and be out of there in 45 minutes. And the professional that's there is making half of that. So that to me, she's not quitting. There's no turnover. Dog walkers are making anywhere from $8 to $12 for that walk. And to me, it's going to be turnover. I have dog groomers that are last year made $120,000. And I do, from time to time, I will post their paychecks on our groups with their name crossed off, but just showing that here's a W-2 for somebody of what they earned in our company. That just shows groomers valid. We're valid. No one else can show that, right? Everyone else can sell you on anything and they could post anything. However, the W-2 paycheck stub tells the whole story.
Exactly.
I don't want to hear about anything else. Show me the money.
That's right. Show me the money.
Show me the money.
Speaking of, what's the average ticket?
Average ticket's $185.
Let's break that down. So I'm $185 average ticket. How long am I sitting in the driveway of the dog owner?
An hour and 15 minutes is going to be the average sit time.
So basically $185 an hour.
Pretty much, you could say that. Yeah. So if that truck's out all day, 8 to 10 hours, you'll be making $1,000 to $1,500 a day. I mean, during COVID, with no driving and no, like, barely anything and no traffic and anything, those vans were making like $35,000 a month.
How were you acquiring new customers? What is that channel? Like, this is the top 3 channels to acquire customers in the business. How are you doing that?
Customers are not the problem. If you just get a van and put it in your driveway, like all our franchisees that are launching, they're like flipping out because they're like, we just got the van. We don't even have a groomer yet. And customers are calling me. Customers are finding me. They're seeing the van. They're taking pictures. Mobile pet grooming, I don't care. I mean, there's probably on Long Island here alone. I personally probably know at least 50 to 60 mobile pet groomers that I know of personally. There's probably 100 plus on the island. And they're all overbooked, can't even keep up with the work. Pets need to be groomed every 4 to 6 weeks. Advertising, very minimal. 99% of groomers will never advertise anywhere. I don't spend a dollar on advertising on Long Island. It's all organic. It's all repeat customers. It's all the billboards driving around. But when you launch a new geography in a new area, we're going to go on Google and we're going to run LSA and PPC ads, as well as some light meta, I'll say. Light meta just for brand awareness. Within 30 days, and again, locations that launched January 1st, two of them have already, two out of the six, already hit over 20K in sales, and they're shutting down their advertising. Very, very common that advertising is a very short-lived thing in this business, only in the beginning to get some customers. The second you get the customers on the books, they're going to rebook. So if I advertise, I get 10K in sales this month. At the last day of this month, I look at next month's calendar. I already added that 10K I did in March. In April, 6,500 already rebooked. Now you're starting April with 6,500. Then you do it again. So wash, rinse, repeat, and it becomes back up to 20 very quickly. So you can get to multi-van pretty quick. I mean, Arizona in 4 months got to 4 vans. Charlotte in 5 months got to 3 vans. I mean, the multi-van is really the way to go. Very easy. Just follow the recipe. It's super simple. We have the ops manual that we made ourselves, over 300 pages. It gives you every blood, sweat, and tear that we've done our whole life and put it into one book for our franchisees.
I like that. You mentioned, I want to talk about that. You bring up a very good point about the booking and the recurrence and the every 4 to 6 weeks. How will you hit, what I've learned, everyone wants tech stack.
Tech.
This is my tech stack, right? It's all day. Here's something that I've learned about all these folks that have transferred from, let's say, the phone to the old school scheduling to leaving the scheduling to the app and to the customer is scheduling abandonment statistics, which are frightening. A lot of people don't realize how many people do not complete scheduling something because of friction or because of, I don't know what happens to people, they short circuit. Sometimes 60 to 70% of customers will abandon their scheduling on an app. They would never have done that talking to you on the telephone. Never would have happened.
Correct.
How are you handling that if you're transferring to tech?
Amazing. I love that question. And I love that I personally work alongside our founders of our CRM system that went into business just when we went into business in 2017. So the CRM system that we use, we worked on a feature 3 years ago called the abandoned booking feature. So you can go on our website, you can click around. As soon as you, first thing they want is your phone number, right? Give me your phone number. Then you start entering your name, your pet's name, and then you start selecting a service. Maybe you get all the way down to where it says select service and you exit out because it was too expensive. Or maybe I go to ask you for a credit card and you're like, well, these people are new. I don't want to give them my credit card. I exit. Maybe there wasn't an appointment soon enough. Maybe I don't like that it's a male groomer and I need a female groomer or vice versa, right? So you're going to abandon the booking. Long Island alone receives around a month, around 300 abandoned bookings a month on our CRM system. Yeah. I recover over $30,000 a month in recovered revenue, pays for my CRM across the nation from that one feature alone. That sells the CRM in a whole. End of story. There's no further discussion. I capture your info. I call you up. Hey, Cliff, this is Chris from Dapper Tales. Just saw that you abandoned. Now, based on also where you abandoned the step, right? When did you X out of the browser? Was it at the select payment? Was it at the select service? Was it at the select groomer? Was it at the select day? Based on where you abandoned, I know because I've been doing this too long and I've worked on this feature with them and I helped create it and I've tested it. I know why you abandoned the booking. So based on where you abandoned the booking, I know what to tell my franchisee or what to tell you as the customer, how to get you to book that appointment.
What's the number one? What's the number one reason for abandoning an appointment?
It's one of two reasons. They either the price is too high, right? Or they can't get an appointment soon enough because the computer is black and white and there's no gray. However, I can override anything. I can move a customer. I can call you. You're going on vacation. You're leaving tomorrow. I need my dog groomed this afternoon. No problem. I'm going to find a schedule that has one of my regulars. I'm going to find that regular, call him up, say, hey, Mrs. Jones, do you mind if we could do you tomorrow instead of today? We know she's flexible. She doesn't care. We'll move her to tomorrow and I'll get you done today. And now I recovered you like that. Secretaries in the office work all day long. You'll never delete the human interaction. That's everything, right? So we do have an AI-powered call center. If they're on the phone, you can call. Hey, Cliff, good afternoon. This is Dapper Tales, Barkley speaking. Did you want to book an appointment for Sparky? Yes. What kind of service did you want? Did you want the same groomer you had last time? And it can book you right on the CRM flat out. So technology works alongside our staff, but that abandoned booking feature, like you said, it's right. And that was only 3 years ago. And that was a big I needed that because I'm like, guys, you know how many people are going on there? And either, and again, for the price being high, I can fix that. Listen, I'm going to give you a discount. I'll give you $20. Maybe you have four dogs, right? Maybe you have four dogs and you're like, well, I can't afford $200 a dog. Well, how about I take 25 off each dog and we do it for 700 instead of 800? I'm in control of everything, right? I can change the price. I could change the timing. I could give you a groomer who I think is amazing. I could do anything, but at least I have that contact abandoned list that I'm able to feed off of and call you. So we recovered 30K a month in sales just on Long Island.
If you're self-employed and you have technology, you need to be listening to this.
I do recorded phone calls showing you how my staff answers the phone, what they're saying, why she's saying that. And if she said it differently, this is what would happen. Again, I've answered phones for the first 6 years in this business. To this day, I still answer phones, believe it or not. Founder running a massive company, I am involved on the lowest level you could possibly be in, down to cleaning the van, okay? I was out this morning fixing things in a van on Long Island that were broken. I'll do it all, it doesn't matter. I tell people, I said, I have one of my franchisees, she's on the couch on Sunday night, we're doing a training. She goes, it's 8 o'clock, she's like, I have a franchisee texting me, I mean, a client texting me, I don't want to text them back. I said, excuse me? Well, what do you mean you don't want to text them back? She goes, well, I feel like it's not appropriate at 8 o'clock on a Sunday. I said, are you crazy?
Right.
Hey, don't text them. Pick up the phone and call them. If somebody called me at 8 o'clock on a Sunday, I'm booking them. I don't even care how much it is, who they are, or their reviews are. The fact that you picked up the phone and you're answering, listen, we live in a world today that no one picks up the phone. I don't care if you're looking for a simple power wash service or a carpet cleaning. You're going to have to call 10 people to get one to answer. And in our industry, you're going to have to call 30 to get one to answer. And when they do answer, they got no availability, or they're going to give you a recommendation for another local groomer. The biggest advantage Dapper Tails has over anybody else, our owners answer the phone at all hours of the night. The later, the better. Answer the phone. We don't have business hours. Until 9 o'clock at night, you could potentially get a call from a Dapper Tails business side, okay? Right. So 8 a.m. to 9 p.m., unless it pertains to something more serious, it could be after or before those hours. But general business hours for us are 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. for you to call a customer to recover an abandoned booking. Follow up on your service. This is another big one, too. I always tell. Another very successful one. I'll call you at 6 o'clock tonight. And I'll say, hey, Cliff, how you doing? This is Chris from Dapper Tails. You're like, what's going on? Hey, I know Caitlin came there today to groom your dog. I just wanted to follow up on the experience. Oh my God, my dog's great. He looks great. Did you get a chance to go out and see the van? Was she on time? Did you like the haircut? Does Fluffy look good? So on and so forth. And you're like blown away at $100 service. This guy's calling me at 7 o'clock at night while I'm eating dinner is weird. Like, we're not in that world anymore. This is an old school mentality. That's right. How I grew up. This is how I grew up. You know, I'm old school. So for me, keeping that value in today's world is what makes us successful. Even if the haircut wasn't good, you're not going to complain because I called you and that's good enough for you that I even cared how you liked the experience. And then for me, I'm going to send you a Google review. Caitlin would love if you could just leave a one-sentence Google review for her, and it will help her. She'll feel really good. And thank you, by the way, for that generous tip you left her on the credit card. Make you feel good. Send you the Google ring. Next thing you know, you're at 1,500 Google reviews on Long Island, and no one can match you because we live on reviews. You go on Amazon, you try to buy something for $6. You're reading reviews for 20 minutes. The whole business is based on reviews. The way you get them, call a client, text them, send them the link, and get it. So these are the things, the advantages Dapper Tails has over any other mobile pet grooming franchise out there. These are the things we teach because we do this. And my franchisees, they'll call me and be like, okay, I went out today. She was doing a husky. I'm telling you right now, that is insane. Like that was, I never knew, I never thought, I never imagined that that's what it would be like. So
right. We
immerse our owners with our groomers. I mean, our whole recipe, Cliff, it's second to none. And we help each other, right? That's what we do. I don't care who you work for, what you do. My job is to help groomers in the entire industry because that's what brought us to where we are today, our reputation.
That's great.
So for us, the support, again, we train our owners and we train our groomers. No one will ever feel unsupported. That is everything in frame. Why else are you giving me 7%? Why?
Right.
Support. That's it.
Exactly. You're exactly right. I love this. Let's do item 7 and item 19 and we can wrap it up. What does it cost to invest in this franchise? What's that range?
Very simple. The range is 103 to 242. And the reason for the big range, again, everyone's going to say, why is it so large? It's the question of the day is, what are you doing with the van? Are we putting $15,000 down? And are we financing it or leasing it? Or are we buying it outright for $125,000? We know the franchise fee is $50,000. I like to have you have $15,000 in capital working in the bank. So we know we're up to 65. It costs $5,000 to wrap your van. We're at 70. $2,000 to ship it, 72. $3,000 to train your groomer, 75. And then are you going to put $15,000 on the van? Are you going to put $20,000 down, 30, 40, 80, or are you going to buy it outright? So at minimum, I would say for 103, you could have a van in your driveway with a groomer trained ready to go in business, one territory, one van, one groomer, and you can expand from there.
Okay. What am I looking at for a monthly burn rate on that lease of that vehicle?
If you put down $15,000 to $20,000 on the van, you're going to be looking at $20 to $2,200 a month.
A month.
Based on credit, you know, interest rate at the time and how much you're putting down. But usually $2 to $2,500 a month is probably what over a 4 or 5 year term. Again, you could do 3 years, it might be $2,600, but usually most people are doing, I think, 5 years, 60 months on those. And they're usually around $2,000, $2,100 a month. That's what I'm seeing from everyone that's signing up. But a lot of people are getting SBA loans where they're just borrowing like $200,000 and they're doing it all upright. And so, just so you know, for our franchise fee of $50,000, keep in mind, we have structured also some franchisees who are a little nervous about, you know, man, maybe I can't be successful. You could pay me $25,000 now, and the second your van hits $10,000 in sales, which I know is going to happen probably in the first 30 days, you can give me my other $25,000. That's even going, letting you in the door for basically a $75,000 all in, just to show you, and then I'll send you a bill for the other $25,000 once the van hits $10,000 in sales. So we've structured many deals to make people feel comfortable, because I know that it's okay if you're feeling that way. Let me show you. I can't make you feel any better in any other way, right? Than telling you I'm only going to take half the money now. And if you don't get past $10,000, you don't have to give me that other $25,000. Right. You're going to get to it. And we're here to help you. Again, without that, we can't collect any royalties. So that's what we're here for.
Yeah, totally agree with you. Yeah, there's alignment. And I like that. I don't want you to be a bank, but I like the alignment, right? You're putting your money where your mouth is.
Correct. 100%. And that's why I do that.
This item 19 is mind-blowing. It's $2.1 million in revenue with a 900 net.
Yeah, my location. And then, of course, if you were a franchisee that owns it, meaning the person taking over, if they're doing the 2.1, they should see $745,000 after paying brand fund and 7% royalties if the business doesn't even increase or if they don't even raise prices, right? So keep in mind that those two things are always going to be we raise every year. I think for this year's FDD coming out in 2026, which will actually be finalized next week, we're not putting in profits because personally, I don't like to show that because it's kind of irrelevant, right? I mean, those are based on New York vans. Those are based on data that I think you might not be able to duplicate in other places or maybe just not as aligned as I would like it to be. I think what matters more than just the number of profit, I think what matters more to people is what's the ramp up, right? I can talk about profits all day, but you're going to tell me if I started tomorrow and I wrote a check and a van arrives in my driveway and we put a groomer in tomorrow, how much should I make my first month? And I can't answer that because I don't really have that data, right? Now in 26's FDD, I'm using the data from 25 that's going to show the locations that I launched in those 12 different states with the ramp up. So here's Scottsdale, Arizona. It started July of 2025. First month, 9,000. Second month, 14,000. Third month, 18,000.
Like
Charlotte, same trend. Valdosta, little bit lower. You know, and so you could see from an outsider, like, okay, I'm seeing the trend here. This guy opened up 10 locations. Looks like every month, you know, religiously on launch, they've obtained between 8 and 10 on the first month of launching. So that's what I should probably expect. I think if you see that, that gives you more clarity than telling you I made $75,000 in a van. I think you can figure out that number on your own using the revenue sales, right? That we know that the average grooming van in America can easily make $20,000. That's a fact out there, right? And then what are your expenses? Those are very easy to figure out. So I think you can figure out profits on your own. You don't need to read something where, you know, based on a New York location that might not pertain to Michigan, right?
Right.
So we want to do the ramp up of monthly sales per location across the board. So obviously that's this year's FDD. And then moving forward is going to even be more exciting because now it's going to show franchisees locations with their ramp up also.
I
think that's what's going to be. That's what I want to see. Because again, I put myself on the other side. Like, what do I want to see if I'm standing at a franchise show and this guy's telling me about this? I want to see ramp up. I don't want to see, you know, we all know, okay, you made 70 grand, but you're also on Long Island. That doesn't help me if I'm in Valdosta, Georgia. That I might not make that, even though you probably will and you could make more, but it's not as accurate as I feel like it should be. So for me, I want to see sales. I want to see the ramp up on that. So we're switching up our FDD, but at least you can reference 25's FDD and see that number, then use 26's FDD to see ramp up and sales on a monthly basis the entire year.
Yeah, it's ramp up sales and geography. It's like, I can't relate to you, but I can relate to the Southwest. It's like, what's the Southwest doing? What's the Northeast doing? What's the Southeast doing? So yeah, no, I like that. Plus you also could see, okay, well, I know the break-even number. So where are they hitting break-even? Wow, they're hitting break-even in month two, month three. What can I expect in month one? What can I expect in year one? when will I break even and stop the bleeding? I only have 15, 20 grand of operating capital. I don't want to run out of runway. I think what you're doing is very, very smart. I think what you're building is incredibly impressive. I love what you're doing. I love non-brick and mortar brands. I love, more importantly, asymmetrical investments. This is the definition of asymmetry. I love your network of how you're finding groomers, how you're compensating them, how you're retaining them. Man, there's a lot to like here, man.
Yeah, thanks for having us. Appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thanks for being here. You have a great weekend, Chris. Thank you for watching Pursuit of Profit, brought to you by Phrenosity. Franchise ownership is one of the biggest financial decisions you'll ever make. The right strategy can accelerate wealth. The wrong one can set you back years. If franchise ownership is on your radar, whether you're buying your first unit or planning to scale, the most important step is getting clarity before you invest. Do not make a 6- or 7-figure decision without the right guidance. At Phrenosity, we offer free franchise consulting to help you evaluate opportunities, avoid costly mistakes, and build a clear strategy for long-term profitability. Visit phrenosity.com to book your free call. We look forward to working with you.